This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
It's Thanksgiving, so guess what? We just got to talk about food. I'm Natalie Moore, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The documentary series, High on the Hog, How African-American Cuisine Transformed America, is out with the new season. In the first season, journalist Stephen Satterfield traces the origins of American food culture from Benin on the coast of West Africa to Charleston, Philadelphia, and Galveston via the transatlantic slave trade. In the new season out now, Satterfield continues his exploration of Black cooking by visiting cities such as Atlanta, New Orleans, and you guessed it, Chicago. I was able to take part in the series by sharing my own research on Chicago as a destination city during the Great Migration. And I recently reunited with two Chicagoans who were also in the docuseries. Eric Williams is the owner and executive chef at Virtue, a restaurant located in Hyde Park. And Dario Durham, co-host of the Chicago History and Food Podcast, 77 Flavors of Chicago. We started off by talking about what comes to mind when we think of Black Chicago and food. Here's Dario.
The creativity, you know, and the realness, the soul of the food, man. I think of chicken, Thanksgiving, basically, all the stuffing and everything, man. I just think about feeling good. That's what I think about.
You said stuffing and not dressing.
What's the difference? What's it? Is it what? Ooh. Stuffing or dressing? Ain't the same thing? No.
Just let it go.
Okay. So you clearly eat but don't cook.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Eric, would you like to school him on the difference?
Stuffing is...
You go inside, right?
No, stuffing is the version that's usually outside of our race.
Oh, okay.
And it can sometimes have things like raisins in it.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I ain't doing that.
Nuts, you know? Things like that. Dressing, depending on if you're... you know, in some parts of the South that are closer to bodies of water, could have oysters, could have andouille sausage. And most traditional dressing in Chicago is usually just vegetables and potentially, you know, gizzards and parts and things like that.
Yeah, well, that's what I eat. The terminology is just different.
Okay. All right. All right. We're clear.
But boy, oof, boy, we 2 minutes in, I'm up and down bad.
Eric, same question to you. When you think of Black Chicago and food, what comes to mind?
When I think about Black Chicago and food, I think about the opportunity to commune and come together. When, you know, things like restorative space, laughter, the wholesomeness of nostalgia. I think about family when I think about Chicago and food. And I also think about survival. Because for many years, Black people have used food as a way to communicate and to extend gifts to one another and to bridge the burden of all that they have to deal with outside of their personal space.
And to keep with that theme, how do you understand the legacy of African-American food in Chicago? Like, what would you find in someone's grandmother's kitchen?
What would you find in someone's grandmother's kitchen? Casserole dishes are high on that list. There are roasting pans. There are these like black and white roasting pans. In terms of dishes, macaroni and cheese, collard greens, you know, the age old, argument from, the South spaghetti. I think this came up off of the series, you know, in Chicago at Spaghetti and Catfish. And obviously fried chicken, cornbread. That could be baked cornbread, hot water cornbread, biscuits. Also things that I think that you would see in someone's grandmother's house. That age-old photo of Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy hanging on the wall.
It might be replaced with Barack Obama now.
Yeah.
Or added to the Trinity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dario, with 77 flavors, you've been all over the city talking to chefs and business owners. What have you learned about Black food traditions in the process?
I'm learning how deeply into it they are. Take Chef Eric right here. You know, we were on the set. He was talking about how, you know, how he makes his food to, you know, kind of represent different parts and different aspects of what happened to us in the past. And you find that a lot with different chefs around, is that we really hone in on the history. And we like to tell you, this is where this came from, and this is how we make it, and this is why we do it the way we do it. There's a lot of story behind it also. So that's kind of been the theme going with 77.
What would you say set Chicago apart from other regional African-American cooking?
I think I do not want to say ours is the more authentic or anything like that, but I tell you one thing, there's passion, you know, in the way we cook our foods. Everybody almost has the same exact story. We don't have to worry about going over somebody else's house and it tastes a little different, or it might be this. It might taste a little bit different, but it's the same consistency. It's the same kind of theme between the different macaroni and cheeses and the turkeys and things like that. So that's one thing Chicago, we don't falter. Y'all told me at the top of this, y'all let me know already, we don't play about our food and the history of it. So really, that's what I learned.
Eric, what do you think sets Chicago apart?
I think the narrative is different. And I think, regionality sets the stage. Over at our restaurant, Daisy's Po' Boy and Tavern, we often tell people that, you know, our gumbo is not going to be just like the gumbo in New Orleans. Because in the north, it gets pretty darn cold. And so in New Orleans, gumbo is brothier. Obviously, the shellfish is pristine because they can get it that day and process it, whereas I am getting things flown in. So there's a bit more roux in the gumbo at Daisy's. And, Chicago is known to be a meat and potato town. So our plates are a little bit heartier up here, and they tend to have a little bit more animal protein focus. Whereas in the South, there's a ample amount of vegetables that play a leading role in the cooking. And then last but not least, because Chicago was home for many years to the stockyards, there's one thing in Chicago that is not celebrated the same way. That is celebrated unlike any other place, and that is the rib tip. And when ribs are cut in the form or style of St. Louis ribs, then that tip is removed from the top of the ribs. It is not cooked with the ribs in Chicago. And so you can buy ribs or tips, but very rarely are you buying ribs and tips. And for most rib connoisseurs that are in the North, rib tips are called meat candy. It is the perfect combination of what you would imagine a rib and bacon being. It's chewy, it's unctuous, it is slathered in sauce, and it is a Chicago thing all the way.
Can y'all hear my stomach growling? Look. Like, I'm getting hungry over here. So, High on the Hog, Season 2, dropped today. Chicago's an episode. We're all in it together, eating at Virtue. I believe I was clean. I noticed that you all didn't clean your plates. I did, with the short rib and the mashed potatoes, speaking of meat and potatoes. Have you all seen the episode yet?
Yeah, I stayed up till 2 a.m.
You did?
I watched it when it dropped, yeah.
Okay. Have you
yes,
seen it, Eric?
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay, I guess I'm the only one. I'm trying to remember what we all talked about. But you mentioned spaghetti, so I want to go back to that. What are the origins of Black folks in the Midwest, Chicago, using spaghetti as a side dish when we're eating fried catfish, fried shrimp?
My origin started in 1983 or 85. That's when my origin started. That's the only thing I've ever known. And I think we talked about this on the set. You know, we talked about how those two go together. I'm going to defer.
So when we think about the Great Migration, again, we get into regionality. And so folk from Mississippi came straight up to Chicago. As you travel the South, then you can directly trace the patterns of how people got to Detroit, how people got to Canada, and how folk got to California, and so on and so forth. And catfish and spaghetti is a Mississippi thing. And it's so much of a Mississippi and Chicago thing that hardly anybody else understands it. I haven't had the debate with anyone in St. Louis, but because that is a direct route, or a direct stop before you get to Chicago, I would imagine that they probably picked up on it too. But you start talking to folks from like Memphis or Alabama, they think you are insane.
They do.
Catfish is its own thing and spaghetti is its own thing. But I guess I would add to directly answer your question, much like macaroni and cheese that was brought here by a chef who studied in France, black people cooked all of the food in the country. We were the cooks. We were the service and the labor in this country. So we took from the influences of what was made available to us, and that those influences were incorporated in our food. And one might argue they were perfected in our food. And so the macaroni and cheese that was being cooked in France, I mean, you can't find macaroni and cheese that tastes like macaroni and cheese in a black home in France today. It has still not become that. It's just a different thing. It's a thing of its own. And so spaghetti in the home of a black family is almost always incorporated with the sauce and the meat, which would be bolognese in Italian culture. For us, it's meat sauce, and it takes place in the pot. It's sacrilegious for it to be a one-pot dish in the Italian culture. The sauce is always poured over the top or served on the side. And so if you walked in a home tomorrow and there was spaghetti being served for Thanksgiving, they would think you were out of your mind if that sauce was not touching those noodles and they didn't have a chance to have a long, intimate relationship.
Speaking of labor, the Chicago episode of High on the Hog focuses on the Pullman porters, and my grandfather was a porter. And we've talked about the meatpacking industry. We know black folks were working in the stockyards after World War I. But are there any other things that you think about with labor tied to our food history, Dario?
I think almost every bit of every occurrence that we've had when it came to any kind of strikes or anything like that, or when it came to any kind of hardships like that, black folks were on the outside always looking in. So these stories are told in the sense of, you know, from not a black person's point of view. When you think about what we were doing in those times, a lot of times we were hired. When strikes happened, that's the only time we got those jobs. You know, that's the only time we had the opportunity to work. And so, again, with food, what did we have to do? We had to make do with what it was. The people, if it was a strike, the cooks went on strike too. Nobody else was working there. You know, so what we had to figure out how to do those type of things. So, to me, I feel like every moment in history, every significant thing, and especially, you know, we talk about the Pullman porters, what they did for Chicago specifically, our black population. Everything came, you know, from a place of we had to. This is what we had to do, and this is how we got creative with it. And that's why I always say, you know, our culture here is creative because we had to be. And that's kind of like the gist of it all everywhere you go in every bit of time.
Speaking of rib tips, that meat candy, as you referred to, Eric, Lim's Barbecue is my favorite in Chicago, and it's mentioned in High on the Hog. What notable restaurants or food businesses here in Chicago have left a lasting impact on you, Eric?
Restaurants that have left a lasting impact on me. That's an unfair question for a chef because I eat everywhere. But if we were talking about black-owned establishments,
yes.
I love the ribs at Big John's and Honey One Barbecue. I also love the ribs at Limbs. They're all prepared out of the same vehicle, being a aquarium smoker, but they are all very uniquely different, and they just give you something different. I love Pearls. I think they do an amazing job of everyday Southern food.
Those biscuits, as well as the rolls.
So they create a whole vibe over there, and it's everyday eats, and super approachable, and like the most unusual place, right? It's like the only motel in the middle of the city. Additionally, let me think.
We can go to Dario.
Hey, I'm this is not the easy way out, but last time I was on here is last December, and I said then Virtue. You know what I mean? And here's why. Here's why Virtue. And
thank you, brother.
You're welcome. And I've said this several times. What had my mind thinking was you had it was collard green, a dish that wasn't a typical collard green style dish, right? And I remember looking at that, and I'm thinking, the cornbread ain't with it. And I normally take all that together. I make it like a little cornbread, collard green ball, and that's how I eat it. But in my head, when I came to, I'm thinking, this is how, again, creative is the word that I like to use. This is how we've taken something that other people might be like, that's black food, and we've made it and elevated it to a level that is new but familiar. And that's what I think, you know, Virtue is one of those places that I think, for like the third year we've been doing this podcast, Pearls is actually a good one. Featured them on the podcast as well. But I always go back to Luello's, because if you talk to Chef Darnell there, he is always trying to figure out different things and make things new for, you know, his clientele and his people.
And I'm going to shout out the fried gizzards at Virtue, something that I never order. And one day I said, I'm going to eat these here, and they were delicious. Yep. So I love the juxtaposition of fine dining with some fried gizzards.
Right.
I wish we could keep going, but we have to take a break. Eric Williams is owner and executive chef at Virtue in Hyde Park, and Dario Durham co-hosts the History and Food podcast, 77 Flavors of Chicago. Check us all out on the Chicago episode of High on the Hog, Season 2. That's it for this episode. It was produced by Landon Jones and edited by Maha Ahmad and Linnea Dominic. I'm Natalie Moore, in for Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. And from all of us here on the Reset team, have a happy Thanksgiving.